Man, I've been having a really good week myself.
Screw you, Eric.
Screw me indeed. Sorry, Jason, I know technical stuff is like the most frustrating thing in the world. I'd rather deal with family issues than technical issues. Like, I mean, I would rather have like a huge dramatic argument with like close family members than have like a horrible crash or something.
Right.
Yeah. Welcome to episode 67 of One More Podcastle, part of the Retroids.com podcast network, and I believe Retroids.com recently relaunched, which is good news. My name is Eric Bailey, I can count to potato, and I'm the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter, I am the audio engineer, and I will be what is sitting under your Christmas tree.
My name's Jason Lamb, and I want to clap again.
Why do you want to clap again?
I hit pause by accident.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
You want to clap right now?
Right now.
Let's clap. Oh, my God. All right. On three. One, two, three. Now, let's just keep going. Now, everybody in the podcast universe knows how we sync audio. Thanks for nothing, Jason.
Anytime.
Jeez. Don't hit pause, man. Pause is your worst enemy.
I know.
Oh, mine's still recording, right? Yep, I'm recording. I didn't hit pause. I'm happy.
Yeah, normal people don't. That's just a normal thing that people don't do.
Why would you hit pause for an audio recording?
Who knows?
Why would you even?
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, I would think you would know, Jason. Shouldn't you know? I mean, why would you?
I should.
You should, but you don't.
Nope. Sorry, guys. So how's it going?
Good. How is everybody? Everybody's good. We got all the stuff out of the way, ready to go. Good.
Good.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Absolutely. Positively. Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right.
Have you guys played any old video games lately?
Yes.
Oh, Hunter has a question first.
Nope.
Yes.
No question. Nope. Have played old video games. Eric will continue to talk until the story comes out. I've been playing Metroid for the NES.
Oh, so not Super Metroid.
No. Metroid for the NES was one of those games that I happened to just, you know, cross over when I was younger. It's because it's so damn difficult.
It is.
That is a tough game, and for, you know, 9-year-old Hunter wanting to play and enjoy a video game, Metroid was definitely not the game to play.
I would love to meet 9-year-old Hunter.
No, you don't.
If 9-year-old Hunter could co-host the podcast one week,
wow,
that would be shamazing.
I'll tap into my inner me if that. I'll bring him out. So Metroid.
Not this week. Yeah, Metroid.
Super hard. I mean,
doesn't matter how far you get or how great your password is, your health is still going to be super low.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, that's a huge misnomer with this game. Like, you could have, like, 4 energy tanks, and if you die and you start the game over again, you've got 30 health points. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't want to stand in front of a pipe pumping out enemies just to grind my health up. Like, it's...
Yeah.
And this game is just ruthless, man. This game is ruthless. Like, you know, so you don't have any kind of map feature. So you're kind of just exploring on your own. You have to create your own map, I guess, if you wanted to go that far. Or if you're like me, mm-hmm. you've got the official Nintendo Player's Guide. That's got the map in there for you. That's what I got.
Of course.
And this game... So... The way that it makes sure that you stay on the correct path of collecting things, like, it gives you the impression that you can go and explore anywhere you want. But that's not true. Like, if you go down before you're supposed to go down, you will die the second you get to the next area. Like, the enemies are so overpowered. It's like, oh, you don't have the new suit? Oh, no, this isn't for you. No, you're... No, you need to go back. Like, that. Like starting off just playing the game, like, without any assistance whatsoever, like, that's what it was. Like, I was dying every 30 seconds because I couldn't find the areas that were on my level of difficulty. And then when I found where I was supposed to go, there's so many open doors, and there's so many, like, little crevices you can get into, and they open brand new areas. You're like, oh, am I supposed to be here? And then, like, you open the first door and you go through and you get completely demolished. You are not supposed to be in there. You are not supposed to be in there.
Not a friendly game.
Not at all. It makes me appreciate Super Metroid even more. Because the game rolls you in slowly into the gameplay.
Far superior game. I mean, the health thing alone, I think, is a major flaw of the original. Alone just knocks
you down. Well, and pegs. See, and I passed over this game when I was younger. Like, we had bought it. I think I got the Morph Ball, and then I stopped playing because I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And I actually put way more time into Metroid 2 for the Game Boy, and then I played Super Metroid. So going back is so weird, because even going to Metroid 2 for the Game Boy, it's so many leaps and bounds above what the NES version is. It's,
hey, you think so?
Yeah, I do. Like, I think it's more on tune with Super Metroid. Like, it kind of slow rolls you into the game, and there's still a lot of exploration you can do, but it gives you a little bit more direction, or at least it feels like it does. I don't know, maybe I need to play. That was my plan. I was going to play Metroid and try to beat it, which I don't think that's going to happen. So I think I'm just going to give up. And then I was going to play Metroid 2, because I got the GameCube Game Boy Player. I was going to play that.
Nice.
And then probably go as far as I can care to go. And then I'm going to play Super Metroid. So basically what I'm doing is I'm putting off playing Super Metroid.
Gotcha.
I'm trying to get other games in there beforehand. So, you know. Yeah. Tough game, man.
Well, good luck to you, no matter what you end up deciding on how to end that little adventure.
It's not going to end well.
Metroid.
It's not going to end well.
No, it's going to be ugly.
No. It's going to be ugly like Jason.
Wow.
Oh, hey, Jason, well, have you played any old games?
Wow.
It's because he hit pause. You never hit pause.
Jason is having a rough day. Just let everyone
you
know.
You never hit pause.
I am. I played some of Bailey's favorite game. In fact, he's brought the showdown before.
Whoa. Little chips challenge?
A little chips challenge.
Whoa! Me? Who doesn't love a little chips challenge?
Put that bad boy on my tablet.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
Not as good on the tablet.
Oh, really? It's the controls. No.
It's the controls. You really need either a...
I cannot imagine the controls making a difference.
Just...
No.
Oh, they do.
Oh, yeah.
They really do.
Bailey, have you read my blog? Controls are everything.
Too many plumbers.
Just admit it that Chip's Challenge, or as I always call it, Chip's Quest for some reason...
It makes me wonder if you're working on a secret project game called Chip's Quest.
It's a cross
That's
between
what I want to know. Like,
Chip's Challenge
it's a,
and Chip's
It's a spiritual
quest.
Successor.
That yeah, so it's a first-person...
Key-finding
Holy cow,
game.
There is a game called Chip's Quest.
Is there?
Yeah, it's somebody built it on Game Maker.
Oh.
Let's see. We've got snow. That's very Canadian. Penguins. Penguins are in Canada, right?
No, oh, they're yeah. not.
Okay.
Actually, no. No, well, you don't.
We got penguins in Canada.
No, you don't. They're Antarctic, not Arctic.
The number one comment, this game is really nice and really cute.
You're right.
Look forward Antarctic. To your
South
next
South America
game.
Has penguins.
Good job, Jason.
Canada.
Or should I call you Firecat1311?
Oh, we found the answer.
They're Antarctic. You'll never see a polar bear
the old fire
and a penguin
cat.
Together. They're different sides of
they
the
got
planet.
Mooses though right
the word
yeah,
is
we
moose.
Got tons
the
of
plural
is that the plural
for moose is just moose
we've got tons of Mises you've got a whole colony of
Mises. Yes, it's really slow Mises. Yes.
Mises. If I say it slow, it sounds like I'm thinking about it.
Right.
I'm going to remember that for the showdown later.
If I'm talking
slow.
He's slowly. He's thought this out.
Stupid.
You know what? Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you're right. See? I convinced you.
That was a convincing
the power argument. Of slow speech. I'm going to have to use that.
Or just taking your time. That's the big thing, is just taking your time.
So, I traveled back to my homestead, my parents' house, this past weekend, a state away, and joyously reclaimed a chunk of my gaming collection I left there. I got my Nintendo 64, nice. The hookups, a green controller, and 18 games.
Holy cow, what do you got, man?
Because, oh man, let me show you. There's like lying all over the floor in a haphazard pile.
Do you have Ocarina of Time?
Yes.
Do you have Wave Race 64?
No, actually, but I wouldn't mind having it.
How about Duke Zero Hour?
Nope. Would love that one as well.
How about my prized possession? The original Smash Brothers.
Yep, I do have that. Okay, here we go, I don't even know this is all 18. I just picked up the pile. Okay, ready? I'm going to make this quick. Earthworm Jim 3D.
Got it.
GoldenEye.
Got it.
Mario Party 3, the not-for-resale kiosk.
Wow, very cool.
Yep. Glover.
Got it.
F-Zero X.
Got it.
Super Smash Brothers!
I think I got it. I just showed
Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time.
Got it.
Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six.
I do not have that.
Banjo-Kazooie!
I've got three copies of that.
All-time favorite Zelda game, Legend of Zelda, Majora's Mask. This is the 3D hologram.
Wait, did you just say that was the best
one you can
version
switch.
Of Legend of Zelda?
It's my favorite.
Oh, okay.
Zelda.
Okay.
I don't know if it's the best, but
I was going
to
say,
favorite.
If you want to have that argument, Adventures of Link wins all the way.
NBA Live 2000.
Awful.
Yeah, it is, actually. Yeah, I know. Star Fox 64.
Got it.
Blast Corps.
Got it. No! I sold my copy.
No? Turok 2 Seeds of Evil.
I have that.
And the last three are pretty sentimental to me. Body Harvest.
Nice, got it.
Pierre, one of the One More Castle writers, once called it the worst-looking Atari 2600 game ever created.
Amazing.
Last, we have the platforming masterpiece, Mischief Makers.
I do not have that game yet. Okay, so...
And one of my top 10 all-time
two
favorite
games, I need to get.
Jet Force
I do have that.
Gemini.
So,
so good.
Two
good,
games
so
I need.
So good,
Jet
it,
Force
it,
Gemini.
It.
Or no, I got Jet Force Gemini. I need... Mischief Makers? Stop licking it.
No.
What was the other one that you named, like two before that?
Oh, jeez.
Just two.
Body Harvest, Seeds of Turok, Blast Corps.
Blast Corps.
Turok 2, Seeds of Evil, Blast Corps.
Yeah, I don't have that either.
You want mine?
Seriously?
No.
Okay.
I haven't.
I'm working on my Mischief Makers.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, here, I got one more for you. This is going to blow your mind hole.
Ah, dang.
Probably the best game... On the Nintendo 64.
I'm ready to disagree. I'm ready. Oh, wait. I forgot one. I got one more. Ready?
Quest 64.
Nope. Perfect Dark is my counter. Perfect Dark's the best one.
I lied. It's the Game Shark.
Ooh, you have the Game Shark.
Yeah, you kidding me?
to give you an idea of how much I like Quest 64, I left it. I did not bother reclaiming that.
It's one. After you get past the first half an hour, 45 minutes, it's actually not that bad of a game.
It's good enough. I played through it to the end. I mean, there's a little bit more to it than people give it credit for. Like the fact that you can't learn every spell. Like you have to pick
right
how to specialize. If you don't know what you're doing, you can really screw yourself. Yeah, Perfect Dark, man. That's
the one
right there.
So, which one have you been playing though?
So, I played basically
all of them.
All of them over the weekend for different amounts of time. Yeah, I mean,
give me your top three that you put most time into,
like lifetime or over the weekend.
Over the weekend.
Jet Force Gemini, Mario Party 3, and Banjo Kazooie.
Did you re-harness your love for Banjo Kazooie?
No, I learned to hate it even more because I spent an hour in the overworld trying to figure out how to get to the latest place I needed to go.
Oh, you should have just called me. I know that game like the back of my hand.
By the time I figured it out, I was so done with it.
I own the official Nintendo Power Strategy Guide, just in case if you wanted to know.
Yeah, it sounds like you like the game.
Like, I'm half tempted to say, screw you guys, hook up my N64 and start playing.
It's basically a 3D chips challenge.
Okay. Let's talk about what Jason's been playing.
Yeah, here I win.
That's it? God, you're the worst segue ever. Worst segue ever.
It was that.
Worst segue. Worse than mine. I mean, Jason. Holy crap. Let's be honest.
It was just that and Spelunky.
Ooh.
Okay, Spelunky's
fun.
Wait,
Spelunky or Spelunker?
Spelunky.
Spelunky. Yeah,
a thousand times better than Spelunker. Spelunker is terrible.
Yeah, and Spelunky's not any better.
Shut up!
Sorry. From the top.
Speaking of terrible, we have a listener email discussion question.
Now, that's not fair.
What do you mean not fair?
I mean, this question may be great.
The question's great, but I call everyone horrible things on occasion. It's perfectly fair. It's an equal opportunity insult kind of a gig. So, question goes like this. With all of the holidays around this time of year, I got to thinking, if you could create a retro gaming holiday, what retro game or aspect of retro gaming would you celebrate, and what day of the year would you put your holiday on? Bonus question for Bailey and Hunter. Would this be just a U.S. holiday, or would you allow Canada to celebrate also? Ooh. And for Jason, would yours be just a Canada holiday, or would you allow the U.S. to celebrate? Chris Owens, longtime listener. He sent us questions before. Always a good guy to hear from. Thank you, Owens. What do you guys think?
You were going to say Canadian.
Retro gaming.
Canadian holiday.
I misread the email. He actually just says Canada holiday, not Canadian holiday.
Oh, okay.
Just Canada
trying
holiday.
Trying to correct grammar on the fly.
Brown.
I was actually, I didn't take part. I played a game, and I was really wishing I could stick around for more. My local arcade, on the anniversary of the Atari 2600, had a Atari 2600 day, where they played nothing but Atari 2600 games for the entire 24 hours of the day. And I would definitely make that a worldwide holiday. Because everybody should go back and replay their roots. And there's nothing better than playing...
I agree.
Oh, nuts, what's the game? What was that Atari... What was that 2600 game you brought to the show, Dan, the one time and I was making fun of you?
Keystone Capers?
No, it was... Dodge'em. I played Dodge'em on a 120-inch projector screen.
Wow.
Yeah, it was awesome. Cool. And there was like 30 people there watching me play.
Nice.
It was really cool. And it was like a cool mix of like people our age, and like there were a couple of younger kids there who were playing like Halo and stuff like that and Rock Band, and then there was like some older timer guys there, you know, like in their 50s and 40s and 60s and that kind of thing. It was a really cool like joining of gamers, really. And I think the Atari is one of those consoles that can really bring people together because everybody's come in contact with an Atari, you know?
It still remains the only console I've ever stayed up all night playing, like legitimately from sundown to sunup.
That's crazy. You probably should have played Quest 64 with the Game Shark. Just totally should have did that.
Only you.
That's right.
Only you would play games. Only you. Jason. Canadian retro gaming holiday. What would you do?
Well, I'd have it probably around the winter holiday season, and I'd probably force you'd only be able to play Hoth snow levels from various Star Wars games.
Okay. So a lot of Shadows of the Empire, a lot of Stage Select on Empire Strikes Back on NES. Yeah, a little bit of
Rogue Squadron.
Tiny bit of Rogue Squadron.
Super Empire Strikes Back.
That's an interesting day idea you have there, Lamb. That's
Lamb.
So what...
Jason, what's your middle name?
Ooh, what?
I have two.
Okay.
My full name's Jason Carl Benjamin Lamb.
Carl Jason Benjamin. Carl? Carl
Jason
Benjamin.
Jason Carl Benjamin Lamb.
Wow.
That is magnificent. I don't pull out the
it's
word
a very
magnificent
impressive name.
Very often.
Thank you.
Usually he can't remember how to say it, so that's why it's only
that's once in a while. Carl Benjamin. That's cool.
Yes.
Oh, look at that, Bailey. My phone's
so
almost
Hunter.
Dead.
All thanks to me and our pre-show shenanigans. That sounds kind of weird. Hunter, would Canadians be allowed to participate in your holiday?
Worldwide. The Atari 2600 speaks all languages. Okay. Especially English, because that's what most
Jason.
Of the games were made in.
Yep. Would Americans be allowed to participate in Hoth Level Day for Star Wars games?
I'm going to have to say yes, only based on the fact that an American made Star Wars.
Thanks, Jason. Thank you for including us.
Anytime.
Thank you, George Lucas. Well, my idea for this was Couch Co-op Day.
All right.
A game where you celebrate multiplayer, where you all have to be in the same room. Like, pull out the bean bags, get out the old Smash Brothers, some four-player games, break out the multi-taps, do some Mario Party, some GoldenEye, just have at it. Couch Co-op Day. And nice. Canadians absolutely can participate. I would encourage that thoroughly.
Do they have weird couches, though?
Thanks.
Yeah. Probably
made of dead seals. Couches made of dead seals.
Made out of ice and blubber, yeah. Upholstered with polar bear fur.
I was just gonna say fine seal leather.
Is there such thing as seal leather?
I'm sure there is.
If not, there should be. But there
those are seals
is.
That yeah. have not been clubbed.
Seal.
Yet. They have been gracefully starved and killed.
Do you think we'll ever have a podcast episode where we don't bring up Canada in some form? We just accept Jason as he is, as a part of the conversation, and not bother pointing out his...
We've Probably had not. Plenty of those episodes. Yeah. I think we've had too many.
I don't think we've ever done it. Although, I mean, this time it was the listener email discussion questions fault.
There you go, see? First. There you go.
As for when my holiday would be, I would normally pick August 8th, but there's already Review a Bad Game Day on that day. So I'd pick a winter holiday, make it when, you know, you're seeking warmth, you gotta go indoors, you gotta be with your friends. You know.
God forbid.
Four-player, couch quality, yeah, I know. The rest of the year, oh no, no! Let's play online, I want to be near you, you smell, kind of a thing. But
do I?
Not on couch co-op no. day.
Everybody smells the same.
Not on couch.
Like couch co-op. By Tommy Hilfiger.
Deodorant for everyone! Couch co-op.
Music break?
Music break.
Music break! Music break! And we're back! That was Acid Flashbacks by Elrinth and PsyNES. Some fantastic Flashman stage remix action from Mega Man 2, of course. Check it out. You can download it at the podcast page if you liked it. Now it's time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For anyone listening or watching who doesn't know, this is kind of the prime spot of our show where each of us has secretly chosen an old video game. We have 1 minute on the clock to introduce it, and then we're just basically going to spend the rest of the show arguing about who picked the best game. But the best part is that you, the listener watcher, get to vote for your favorite of the three on a poll on the podcast page at onemorecastle.com. So hopefully one of our arguments will sway you. Please vote, comment, check out onemorecastle.com. 2 episodes ago, the theme was ninja games in episode 65, and the winner was me with Shinobi on the Sega Master System, beating out Shadow Warrior and The Last Ninja. Which means that, by definition, Jason and Hunter are finally officially losers.
No grade of losers, just losers.
You are both losers.
You know what? I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it.
It took 67 episodes, but we're finally losers.
60. I gotcha. I gotcha.
Right. Well, no, he won the first one.
Tonight.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I did. You guys remember the first? I don't remember. Like
I don't remember last week.
Yeah, right. Yep. Oh yeah, that's right. Wow, that was so long ago.
It was a while ago.
Man. Huh. Tonight's theme for the showdown is winter holiday games. Curious to see what you guys have chosen.
What's that even mean?
Winter holiday games.
I'm really excited to be here.
I'm excited for my pick. Let's do this. Jason, you got 1 minute on the clock for me?
I do. Are you ready?
There's another clap. Kinda, yeah. Let's do it.
You may begin.
So tonight, I reached back to my good old familiar comfort zone of the NES, the 8-bit Nintendo console, a 1991 release from Wisdom Tree. It's King of Kings, the early years, a game all about baby Jesus. It's not even a joke. It's literally about Jesus Christ. It's actually a collection of 3 different games: The Wise Men, Flight to Egypt, and Jesus and the Temple. In The Wise Men, you control one of the wise men. Actually, alternate. You do one for a few levels and the other two. Riding a camel, and you're spitting on enemies and avoiding animals and eating fruit and spitting it. Awesome. In Flight to Egypt, you control a donkey that Mary and Joseph are riding. You have to, like, kick lions and avoid stuff, stones. Jesus in the Temple. Jesus goes missing. You're the mom. You're looking for him. You're 2D platforming action. Good stuff. Fun.
Time.
No, it's not. No, it's
not. Oh, it's not. Hunter, are you ready?
I am ready.
You may begin.
My pick for this holiday showdown is a game I'm not afraid to say that I played quite a bit as a child growing up. Sitting in the library at school was the only place you'd find a computer lab, and while the other students were doing research, I was playing this old DOS game that came on floppy disks. Bring up your command prompt and typed /xmaslemmings.exe. Christmas Lemmings takes a familiar gameplay of Lemmings and puts you in the spirit of the Christmas with snow levels, Lemmings dressed as Santa Claus, and MIDI holiday songs playing in the background. Still, the same challenging gameplay you'd expect, Christmas Lemmings is an absolute delight to play during those cold winter nights, bundled up close to a fire and the warm glow of your computer monitor. It's Christmas Lemmings.
All right. I don't think I can argue against that choice.
Oh, what?
Oh, it's Lemmings. All right, I guess I'll have to start. My choice came out in 1994 for the PC and kickstarted the career of Cliff Bleszinski, who would later go on to be a key force in Epic Games, creating blockbuster hits such as Unreal Tournament and Gears of Wars. It's the action platforming game Jazz Jackrabbit Holiday Hair, taking place on the planet of Holidayus. You go through multiple winter-themed / Christmas-themed levels, fighting demon dogs, devils, monkeys, and even buddying up with a parrot to fight them all. It's Jazz Jackrabbit Holiday Hair.
I love your completely non-sequitur game descriptions. It's a Christmas-themed game with demons. There's a parrot.
Holiday Hair.
Jazz Jackrabbit and a monkey.
Nah. Now, you've talked about this game before. You're very fond of this game.
I love Jazz Jackrabbit.
Platforming games you could possibly
game of yours.
Fawn over, you pick Jazz Jackrabbit Holiday Hair.
Jazz Jackrabbit.
Of course.
Holiday
Hair. I pick the PC exclusive.
Why?
Of course. I just want to do a quick note for clarification's sake. In case anyone is unclear as to the winter holiday that my game concerns, it is Christmas.
Because I vaguely remember
Jesus'
birthday being July or August.
Yeah, it just gets celebrated. And they're not sure exactly when, so you just got to kind of pick a day.
It wasn't
a holiday in December before. Not a big deal. That's not important when he was born. Whatever.
Good old Wisdom Tree. Good old Wisdom.
Oh, yeah.
So good, man. In fact, they weren't allowed to release their game legally on the NES. So good.
Well, that's not their fault.
I think that is their fault.
Now, some of their games were awful. The King of Kings is actually one of their better games.
That's like saying, yeah, my dog
More
took
than
a
likely,
poop,
yeah.
But this newest poop is, you know what? It's one of his better poops.
Okay, I'm sorry.
In what way, Jason? In terms of consistency, color,
odor. I have to say, I can't believe you just said that, because earlier when you were all talking about Canada, I almost said, can we ever go one episode without mentioning Canada or poop? But I decided, no, I'm not going to mention poop, because we might actually be able to go through the episode without mentioning it if I don't. And then Jason has to go and mention dog poop.
Didn't happen.
That's when they bring King of Kings.
Why?
Well, so...
It's not that bad.
Well, like the listener email discussion question, he brought up Canada. You brought King of Kings. You brought up poop, man.
He brought. Is that like the past tense of Hebrew? Are you making
no,
reference to my game?
I don't
clearly
think so.
Love it. Why don't you marry it?
No, I don't want to. Nope. King of Kings. So. For those who may not know, you guys may not even know.
What?
I can tell you, but you may not know. I actually do another podcast with Tom Hall. And one of the things that we do with our podcast is we have It Came From eBay. And Tom was so kind to bring up a eBay auction for the King of Kings painting that the main creator of Wisdom Tree and King of Kings painted himself, and it was the box art or the titles. It was the box art, yeah, not the title screen, because the title screen is different. It was the box art of the game King of Kings, one of a kind. It looked just as bad as the box art did. And he's selling it right now for $15,000. Or best offer.
Wow.
Or best offer.
Wow. I would give him $3.
Well, let me throw it in the chat just so everybody can see it. I'll load it in the chat here. It's pretty atrocious. That would be the word that I would use to describe this. Is atrocious. I'll even give our current listeners a taste of what's going on. and I will share. This just goes to show that not only is the game a pile of dog poo, anything associated therein with the King of Kings is also a pile of dog poo.
Video game's not that bad.
It's not that good either. Okay, let's do this then. Let's just put it out there in the open. So I work on comparisons, right? Compare this game to me, to another popular, let's say, a AAA title. I'll even take a third-party game that you would closely relate the King of Kings to. Please.
Ooh, that's difficult because, again, it's a collection of three games.
Correct.
And the mechanics, there's things that are distinctive about it.
Right.
But
can I give you a hint?
We can start by saying it's... Sure.
No, go ahead. You're going to start by saying it. Go ahead.
You have one in mind already?
No. Go ahead.
What if I do this for you? How about I name 2D platformers on the NES that are worse than King of Kings? Would that be fair?
Bring it on.
How about the Addams Family games?
Oh, okay. Hold on.
Maybe Adventures of Tom Sawyer.
Really?
Definitely Athena.
Athena.
Definitely Barbie. It's a lot more fun than like baseball, which is not platform, but it's just worth saying. It's better than Bigfoot as a game. Not a platform. Maybe I won't just do platform. I'll do it. Better than Blues Brothers. I can definitely say that.
Okay.
I personally like it better than even Bugs Bunny Birthday Blowout. I understand that's probably a minority opinion.
Right.
It's true for me. Better than Captain Comic, which is kind of in the same company lineage. I like it better than Castle Quest.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really. Better than Cliffhanger. Better than Cool World.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, definitely. That's not even... I'm confident saying it's better than Cool World.
I can't even find any video
game. Count Donkey Kong Jr. Math as a platformer?
No, of course I wouldn't. It's an education game.
It's definitely better than Donkey Kong Jr. Math.
That game teaches people math. That's very important nowadays.
I think it's better than Fester's Quest. I said it.
Oh my gosh, man. Okay.
One of those people who thinks Fester's Quest is bad.
Okay.
What's up, Jason?
Why is there no video available for this game?
There's an angry video gamer video for it.
That's it?
He does Bible games, yeah. But there should be. I'm surprised there isn't. I could make one.
I YouTubed it. I Googled it. I even Googled...
Better than Godzilla, Ghostbusters 2.
I even Googled King of Kings 1988, the year it came out of, and the only thing I got was...
Well, it didn't come out in 88. It came out in 91.
No, release dates, 1988.
No, any Wisdom Tree games definitely came out later.
Book of Knowledge.
Oh, Book of Knowledge.
Book of Knowledge is wrong.
Backed up from GameFAQs.
Book of Knowledge is wrong?
GameFAQs. No. GameFAQs says 91. I checked that the other day.
Here, Jason.
No,
Jason.
GameFAQs says 88.
I will literally send you the link.
Yeah, there's your YouTube video.
Because you know who Wisdom Tree was before they were Wisdom Tree, right? Like, you understand it was a different company?
Yeah, I care enough.
And how all that works?
Oh, this looks awful. You know what I did find, though, when I Googled this? A lovely Christian metal band by the name of Baron Cross released an album called Atomic Arena in 1988 featuring a song called
Game of Thrones.
Give them a listen. Give them a listen.
It's much better than this game looks.
The game FAQs.
This platforming game is almost as bad as Jazz Jackrabbit. The only thing that holds this... I will say this. I know this. We kind of get into a gray area when it comes to, you know, things like this with religions. We're not supposed to talk about politics and that kind of thing. One of the things that really gets me about the King of Kings... Oh, the subtitle is called The Early Years, just so you know. Because apparently there was a later years. I'm guessing it was like Mega Man or something. Who knows?
There's a difference.
But anyway, in all of the games... You have to answer questions that are based on the Bible. So they give you a passage in the Bible, and you have to guess out of a choice of three what the correct answer is if you want the bonus points.
Or health. Yep.
So you have to have...
You don't have to answer the question.
So rather... No, you do. You do.
Well,
if you want...
But if you want
health...
Better know
it's
your Bible.
Not like, you know, a what I would consider even a mediocre traditional platformer where the health is there for you to get because the game is difficult and the developers helping you out by giving you this health. No, you have to go the extra step of answering a multiple choice or true or false question before you even are allowed that health. How dare you?
It's an interesting
not
mechanic.
Get that health
I think,
unless if you know the answer to this question.
I think it's an interesting mechanic. I think actually the worst part is it's a weird break in pacing. You might be like in the middle of a jump and then hit one of the scrolls, and then like suddenly the text starts scrolling on the screen, and then you have to answer, and then you're like,
yeah, that's what's wrong with this game.
Someone's firing at you.
Really?
I think the idea of having to earn a health bonus is actually kind of nice.
Why?
Because why should health be free?
You know, it reminds me of when I was playing Wonder Boy and Monster World, and you actually have to pay coins to save your game at the end, because the end was the only place that you could save the game, and if you want to stay at the end, you have to pay. Mm-hmm. Which means you have to pay to save. There's a reason that platforming nowadays, or even 10, 15 years ago, doesn't do that. Because it doesn't work. It's a broken game mechanic.
I think the ink ribbon in the original Resident Evil was far worse than the idea of having to pay to save.
Really?
I mean,
it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah. What's so wrong with paying to save, though? Like, why is that?
Why should you have to pay to save?
Automatically wrong in your mind.
Why?
You shouldn't have. What's wrong with it? It makes it more meaningful, more. You can't just rely on it as a little crutch, you know? You actually have to...
If you don't want to rely on it as a crutch...
You want to save your game? Get
no, if
coins.
You don't want to rely on it as a crutch...
Don't make it expensive.
Then you don't put so many save points together. Like in Resident Evil, the save points are fairly spread out. In most games, save points are fairly spread out.
And in some games, you can save anywhere, you know?
We don't... That's modern gaming. We don't talk about modern gaming.
King of Kings... There you go. King of Kings is better than Kid Cool.
It's better than Kid Cool.
It's better than Last Action Hero.
Kid Cool?
Yeah, yes.
Kid Cool.
Have you played Kid Cool?
Was an homage to Mega Man. How can it be better than Kid Cool?
You might be confusing
yourself
with something. Because Kid Cool sucks.
Maybe I just have more faith in your legendary console than you do.
No, Kid Cool is not. The physics alone. When you go through the top of the screen, the whole thing's... the design, the programming choices, it's head-hurdy.
Head-hurdy? What's that even mean?
Head-hurdy. It makes your head hurt.
Head-hurdy.
Oh, the
head-hurdy.
Ah. Yes. Head... Are you saying it slow so we understand it?
I'm not seeing it.
Kid Cool is hurdy.
Well, you could be a crappy ripoff of Sonic and Contra.
Better than Metal Mac. King of
like Jazz Jackrabbit is.
Yeah, Jazz Jackrabbit is just dumb.
It's just, it's a crappy Sonic ripoff. That's all it is. With a green rabbit.
Yeah,
why are always the rabbits green in video games? Why is that?
That's a good question, actually. That's a
It's not a regular color. What's wrong with a white rabbit or a brown rabbit?
I'm assuming it's going for like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles thing.
Really?
If
they have to be green.
Now I got these crappy loading screens, this awful first-person perspective that doesn't work, collecting gems or maybe Chaos Emeralds. I'm sorry.
What difference does it make? Generic collectible. At least in King of Kings, you have to answer to get the item.
I could ask why lemmings have green hair.
Good, please. Please do. Because...
Why do they have green hair?
Well, they're actually in Christmas.
They have green hair in every iteration.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're not actual... Have you seen a lemming?
I have.
They look nothing like that.
Right, they changed the look so that it was more appealing for a video game player.
Oh.
Much like Jazz.
I don't think a green rabbit is more appealing.
Kids love
more
green.
I think they're going for the whole I think they're going for the whole Tude, the Attitude, because that's the 94 era.
Worst
that's
era for PC out. Platformers.
Oh,
by
yeah,
the
that's
way.
That's old Jazz Jackrabbit.
94. The PC had like that weird, like trying to come of age era where it's like, oh, we can make video games too. It had these awkward, stupid platformers that just didn't measure up.
That nobody played. Not a solid not a solid puzzle game like Christmas Lemmings.
Christmas Lemmings might be one of the top most pointless exercises. It is such a schmucky cash grab.
Okay, one, I didn't know that video games were exercise. That's new to me. Thought it was kind of the opposite.
It could be an exercise.
Cash grab?
Definitely. Yeah.
Cash grab?
Yeah. Holiday promotional cash. What's the point? Why? What do limit? There's no natural connection between lemmings and Christmas. There's no synergy there. You're just mashing two things together to sell during the holidays to try and. There's no.
Well, you could argue. You could argue you lemmings could argue are from that. The Arctic, so. Snow.
Well, it's kind of the same thing with the tree. Why is the tree synonymous with Christmas?
That
doesn't make any
sense.
A
worthy debate. And if you made a game about a tree, it'd probably suck. Stare at the tree, wonder why it's a Christmas tree. That would be a stupid game. Decorate the Christmas tree. Not fun.
I could probably make a Christmas tree game kind of fun.
You really?
Yeah.
Now, if a game about a tree is dumb, does that mean a developer?
A developer at least has the possibility to make a game about something other than a tree, even if they're named after a tree. Who developed your game?
Wisdom Tree is awful. And so is King of Kings.
Who developed your game?
Say it again?
Epic Mega Games.
Cliff? Now, why is a cliff
Wazinski's
any better than
a tree?
Epic
Mega Games.
I would prefer a tree over a cliff myself, but. You would take the cliff?
Really? I would take a cliff.
And you're not even the Lemmings fan, because a lemming would take a cliff. Obviously. I mean, they would dive off of it, right?
Right.
So Jason basically just said he loves lemmings.
Nah. Do you want me to break your mind for a sec?
Break my mind.
Do it. Break it in half.
Lemmings don't actually jump off cliffs, nor do they commit suicide.
Disney made it all
up. It was something Disney did in a documentary. And they were just actually tossing them off a cliff.
Right.
Yeah, Disney. Family friendly.
Whenever I refer to lemmings really walking off a cliff, I'm always referring to the video games, just so everybody knows.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
I have some questions for you guys about your games.
Yeah.
Is that why you're bad so game?
What was that?
That's why you're so bad?
But why is it like...
What was that?
Hunter.
She would have said...
You said Christmas Lemmings has snow levels. This isn't even like an insult you kind of. It's a genuine curiosity. Is there any difference in the snow levels? Like, are they slippery? Does it have any physical?
Sure.
Like, sure yes or sure whatever?
No, it's just for looks.
There's no functional. It's just for graphic. Okay. Fair enough. You also said it was nice to play by the fire.
Yeah.
Why did you say that?
Correct. With the warm glow of your computer monitor, because it puts you in the
what if it doesn't?
Winter
what if I play
holiday
it,
spirit,
and it puts me into a murderous rage.
When it comes to playing
instead.
Video games,
is that part of the holiday spirit?
Well, see, one of the nice things about Lemmings, just the game in general, is it's all about saving the lemmings or as many as you can to get to the end of the level, so they go into the little castle. You want to protect these lemmings. It's a very nurturing, a very motherly feeling that you have with the lemmings. You slap some Santa suits on them, you play some Christmas music, you're good to go, man.
My game has Christmas music, too.
Yeah. No, not officially, because it's an unlicensed game for the NES.
It still has Christmas
music. So nothing about it is... It's all
bad.
Well,
it's just
all
a figment
debate.
Of my
it's
imagination. Just all part of a dream I had.
It's just a... Well,
so
no,
Jason,
no. Like, the music may sound like Christmas music, but it's not legally Christmas music.
That's
because it's an unlicensed game.
It's a strange argument to make. Jason! Yep.
But it's a good one.
How do you spell holidayus?
It's HOLIDAIUS.
I had it wrong. I'm gonna.
What's that based on? Like, what? Where does that word even come from?
Hunter, my theory is it's a play on the word holiday, referring to Christmas.
Yeah, but Holidayus?
Holidayus. The planet of Holidayus.
Yeah, that's... What? That is kind of like... Are they combining holiday with Uranus?
Maybe.
Or maybe Holidayus sauce?
Danus? That's pretty good. I like that.
Just trying to...
Why is there a monkey in the game? What do monkeys have to do with the holiday? Yeah,
I have a theory. I have a theory.
Oh, I have a theory. Lord.
You ready?
Oh, help us.
You ready?
King of Here, Kings.
No. Oh, me? Yes.
What?
Not your game. Your game's awful.
No.
Here's my theory. My theory is the reason that there are monkeys in the game, JS Jackrabbit, holiday hare, is because it is a leftover game mechanic from the original game.
Most likely, yes.
Thank you. So it's not a new game.
Yeah.
It's literally a mod of a mod.
Much like Lemmings Xmas.
No.
No?
Brand new levels means brand new game.
Well, this is brand new levels.
Sure it is. How much did your game cost, Jason?
I believe it was free.
I'm going to guess it wasn't. Just because if it was, it kind of kills my argument that I'm getting ready to make.
It was free.
If any listeners want to contribute their own discussion question over email, the address is podcast@onemorecastle.com. I would also encourage you to submit your theories as to why rabbits are so often green.
It's weird.
In retro video games. I want to hear fan listener theories. Why all the green rabbits in retro video games? Why?
Why are all the rabbits green?
Answer us.
Why are they green?
It's weird.
Podcast@onemorecastle.com. I want to hear it.
Me too. I want to hear things. Christmas Lemmings.
Not that fun.
Oh, come on.
Once you've played Lemmings, there's no point in playing Christmas.
No, once you've played Lemmings, the only thing you need after playing Lemmings is more Lemmings. You need more levels. You need more Lemmings. And Christmas Lemmings gives you that final argument.
I do not have the right kind of personality for it, I guess. Jason, what's your final argument for what game you pick?
Hacky the green rabbit thing ish with a gun and monkeys?
Not King of Kings.
Pukey the big eared pants wearing cat.
Yeah.
Jason, what's your final argument for
Just Jackrabbit. You're a rabbit with a gun. You shoot stuff.
Good job, Jason.
Rabbit.
Good job.
That is a pretty good argument. I'll give you that. My argument for King of Kings is it's not like one of the best games ever. No, not even close. But it's worth giving a shot. I mean, it's decent platforming challenge action. Your camel
yeah,
spits.
It's awesome.
It's pretty cool. The donkey, like, there's a glitch where if you get hit by something and you hold the A button, you can run like super fast.
Amazing.
It's great.
No.
Yeah,
it is.
Illegal game. Yep. And that's our showdown! Good work, everyone.
Thanks, Bailey. I tried really hard this week.
No problem. You can't. Once again, our apologies for some technical difficulties that made starting the live stream a little more difficult this week. Sorry about that. But yeah, email us at podcast@onemorecastle.com. Shout outs to a few of our live stream watchers. Peter Valencia, good to see you back. Captain Knucklehead, Retro Critic. Valerie, did you make it briefly and then leave? What did you do? You weren't there? Anyway, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's Nintendo_legend. Please support the podcast. Spread the word. Vote in the poll for the showdown. Leave comments. Watch the live stream Thursday nights, 7:30 p.m. Central Time. We tweet the link at One More Castle on Twitter. Number one, More Castle. How about you guys? Any shout-outs and plugs?
You can follow me on Twitter as well, at Eric Hunter. My indie game review blog is IamEricM.com. Got two shout-outs this week. One goes out to Retroids.com. 3.0 is up. The site looks awesome. So we'll be uploading the our episodes there, so you can comment if you are a fan. There's a lot of great podcasts there, a lot of great conversations. Definitely check it out. My other shout out goes to Mr. Chuck Somerville. Somerville, the creator of Chip's Challenge, actually got back with me about how Chip's Challenge came to be on the Atari Lynx. Here's the info. Worked for a company that was creating the Atari Lynx, sold to Atari. Atari told them, make me a game. And that was Chip's Challenge.
Chip's Challenge. Oh, goodness. That's a pretty legit piece of gaming knowledge that we here at One More Castle uncovered with our own original reporting.
Me sitting a drunken text.
A hat tip to you.
Hey, hold on.
That counts.
Wait a second. How did you get on the Atari Lynx though? Like, no. Did you listen to the podcast?
Maybe his reply was drunken.
Yeah, it could have been.
Working for a company. Oh, sorry, said make a game.
Chip Challenge.
Chip Challenge.
Gold. I'll pour it to everything.
Marina! That was a shout out to Mischief Makers fans everywhere. Jason, how you doing?
You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Lamb, and I'm going to give a shout out to Chip.
Chip,
you suck. Just want to point out that Mischief Makers is a well balanced game.
Oh, you're off. It's not. He's balancing the damn cartridge on his head.
That's
awful.
That's all it
quits. It's time to cut the podcast off. For those of you who can't see anything either, Hunter's been wearing a Santa hat the whole episode, so that's pretty cool. Next week, we will not have a live stream broadcast because it's Christmas week. We're going to do something special instead, a little bit different, so enjoy that. Also, support the artist we feature for free track downloads on the podcast episode page as well. It's an important reminder, too. Remember, listeners, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week!